Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, episode 587 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here. It is April 17th, 2024. Padres, they take 2 out of 3 against the Milwaukee Brewers, but if there is a sad series win in Milwaukee, this is probably a sad series win in Milwaukee. I mean, you're fine with a series win. You're fine with a series win, definitely in LA against the Dodgers. Fine with that. No problem there. In Milwaukee, I should be fine taking 2 out of 3 against the Brewers, and I think ultimately I'm fine with that because you'll take every series win you can get, especially on the road. But when the circumstances show up for Padres fans like it did today, where you have Michael King throwing a no-hitter and absolutely dealing and going pitching into the seventh inning in this game, and the offense can't get a run for him. It's just absolutely frustrating. You know, Michael King goes 7 2/3 innings today, and he shouldn't even given up an earned run if we think about it, because remember, he had a pop-up to Tyler Wade. It was tough. He was running back, but Tyler Wade missed it. Should have he got it? I mean, maybe if he was running like full speed. So I've had experience with that type of play before. And yes, that is tough, but he did his job by getting the pop up there. And then, okay, he allows the base runner. And as a reliever, like, your job is to, whenever there's a runner on, it's not like it was bases loaded there for Wandy. Your job is to keep the base runner off of home plate, right? Keep him from scoring. And Wandy ends up giving up the hit, and Profar's throw was close, but it wasn't good enough. Higgy couldn't scoop it there and get the tag on. And so there you go. King gets charged with a run, even though he like dominated today, 10 punch outs. And the Padres score 0 runs. They go 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. They leave 5 guys on base. 2 double plays grounded into Kim and Profar. I thought it was way more than that. But yeah, this reminded me of a 2023 loss. And there's fans that are like, not everything. I saw it on social media. Not everything has to be about 2023. And I understand that. But when these conditions happen, you have a great start and your offense can't do enough. You have an inning like the 8th inning where you get a leadoff triple from no other than Matt Batten, who was really good at first base today, by the way. Turned a double play, diving stop as well to preserve the no-hitter. The batter before the first hit Michael King allowed happened there to right field on a little blooper in front of Tatis. Great. And then he triples to start off that inning. And then what happens? The Padres don't do anything after that. Xander strikes out. Well, that was the second out of the inning. Let me go to the first out of the inning. in that eighth, Higgy popped out. That's right. Higgy popped out to second, weak infield pop-up. There's one out. And then Bogarts strikes out on a foul tip. And let's go before the Bogart strikeout. Let's go when it was 2-0 in the count and he watches a ball go right down the middle. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And then Tatis grounds out. I'm not going to get it on Tatis. I mean, he obviously topped the ball. Like it wasn't good contact, but I'm tipping the cap there more towards the Brewers pitcher in that situation because it was like a bunt essentially. And you got a fast runner in Nando going to first, runner on third. So if you don't get that, if you don't get Nando at first, that run scores and now you're losing because it was the seventh or was it a tie game at that point? It was still tied, right? Yeah, it was still tied 0-0 at that point. This was before the bottom of the eighth when the Brewers scored that run. So you would have given up the lead there if you don't make this play, Abner Uribe. But he barehands the ball, spins or rotates, throws a great target by the first baseman, Jake Bowers. And it was a great throw to first base to end the inning. And that was the big Padres opportunity. Jackson Merrill had a triple in this game as well. He ended up not getting brought in there. So it was just missed opportunities. And then the grounding into double plays, it hurt. And you got the top three in the order. Bogarts, I still don't understand why he keeps getting the leadoff spot. The guy's a 536 OPS. I get it. He has the big contract, $280 million. He's supposed to be one of the stars of the franchise. But if you're trying to win baseball games, and the Padres are doing a pretty good job of that considering the schedule so far, like they still have a winning record, 11-9. They've won three straight series. They just came off beating the Dodgers, and now they win this Brewers series. The Brewers first place in the NL Central. Both of these series were on the road. Like they're doing an okay job at, you know, winning baseball games. I like where they're at. But at the same time, you have an opportunity to sweep this series. I want Jackson Merrill getting as many opportunities to help you sweep this series as possible, not have Xander Bogarts be in the leadoff spot when he has a 530 OPS, 536 OPS, whatever it is. Yeah. You know, you got Tatis and Profar for today behind him, 874 OPS, 883 OPS. And you got a 536 OPS guy leading off. I get it. It's Xander. He's talented. He has the track record. But right now, who's better? Jackson Merrill or Xander Bogarts? The answer is Jackson Merrill. For anyone that says Xander Bogarts, you're just going based off of name and you're not watching the games. So why not? Merrill is a lefty. So right there, you can go left, right, left. Let's say righty's on the mound. So Merrill lefty, Tatis a righty, Profar a lefty. You go Manny. You can go Bogarts in the five spot if you want. And then you can have Kim after that. Slide Kim down because Kim was in the five spot today. Merrill was six. They keep moving Merrill up in the order one spot. He was ninth, then he was eighth, then he was seventh. Now he's sixth. So eventually, is he going to be leading off? We know he had that one leadoff game over the weekend at Dodger Stadium, but that was because Xander was on the bench and he got the day off. Once Xander came back in the lineup for Sunday Night Baseball, where was Merrill? He was back near the bottom of the order. I just don't understand this. And I get that Schilt, he respects what players have done in this game and he respects track records. And that's okay. But at the same time, what are you here to do? Win every game that you can. Because the Padres, they're going to go on a losing streak. They are going to lose three series in a row this year at some point. It happens to almost every team, right? Hard things are going to happen. Adversity is going to come. So you're going to want to have these wins in the bank here than just continuing to have Xander there leading off. Would you rather have had Merrill up in that spot when Bogart struck out there with a runner on third? Or would you rather have Bogart's up at that spot? I think we all would have rather have had Merrill up in that spot. And sure, there's key situations near the bottom of the order as well where it's advantageous to have Merrill up. But I like having your on-base guys at the top of the order. And hopefully that's what will bring you success. So that's my, I guess, Xander Bogaerts rant there. I respect what he's done in the past. I'm not saying he should go hit ninth. Like, I still believe in his talent. I just think that it's better to have Jackson Merrill leading off right now in front of Fernando and in front of, you know, those your best hitters there. I'd rather have that than have Xander being getting the most at-bats on the team right now. Because that's what's happening. He's leading off and he's playing pretty much every day. So, yeah, it was a frustrating game. I do want to hit on Michael King, though, because this was the Michael King game. I know Jesse said the Matthew Batten game because of some of the, you know, the defensive plays and then the triple. But Michael King was the star of this game. He deserved to win this game. 7 2/3 innings, one earned run, just two walks, 10 punchouts. His ERA should be lower than 3.33 because he should not have had an earned run allowed today. What a performance. 109 pitches, 68 of those were strikes. Padres may have found someone here. And like, there's a reason, you know, we know AJ Preller is a good evaluator. There's a reason why the Padres wanted Michael King in this deal. And they, you want Juan Soto, Yankees? You're giving us Michael King. They got Drew Thorpe as well, which they, you know, flipped eventually as part of the Dylan Cease deal. So that's looking great. Like Dylan Cease, him and Michael King seem pretty darn good right now. And now things can change, obviously. Obviously, injuries could happen. Yu Darvish is on the IL. He was placed on the IL earlier this morning. Was not expecting that. But right now, having Cease and King as two of your starting pitchers, sign me. Every team in baseball would sign up to have those two guys in your rotation. And Michael King is a competitor. I love how it seems like he's so open to the media and just seems like a great guy off the field when he's not on that mound. But he's a competitor on that mound. He doesn't want to come out of games. Same thing with Dylan Cease. We saw that yesterday. And then he got, I think, his seventh punch out after saying, no, leave me out there. You know, I like that these guys are competitors. They want to be out there. They're not looking at the dugout constantly like, oh, you're going to take me out now? Can we go to the bullpen? No, they want to get the ball, win this game, help their team win this game. And that's what Michael King did today. He did his job and more, right? His job, right? A starting pitcher's job is to go probably six innings, right? Maybe work into the seventh. Quality start. Hopefully it's like 0, 1, or 2 runs allowed, not 3. But hey, if you have quality starts every time out, I think your team will take that. He did more. He worked into the eighth inning. He gave up 0 hits through how many outs? It was into the eighth inning, right? Or was it seventh? When was that he allowed the first hit? It was just a ball to right field, dropped right in front of Fernando. Yeah, okay. Joey Weimer, pinch hitter. So that worked out for Pat Murphy, former Padre coach and interim manager. Weimer singles. Oh, wait, no. This is the wrong game. Sorry. Where was that? Bryce Terang, I think. In the eighth inning. No. Adames. Yeah, okay. Sorry. My bad. Seventh inning, Adames had that single. So he had a no-hitter through 6 2/3 innings today. Like, totally did his job. He wasn't giving up hard contact. He was punching out guys. And the offense just didn't do their job. That's why this game is so stupid at times, right? So frustrating. Because one part of the game is dominant, and then you still don't win the game. But it's also so great because you do need that team effort. You could, like, if you're a Brewers fan, you're like, oh, we won today. How? I mean, we got dominated offensively. But hey, our offense stepped up a little bit when we needed it to, you know? But that's like other sports, sure, in the NBA, not just NBA, but WNBA, college basketball, whatever, you know, basketball. Sure, it is a team game, but you can tell how much one person, two people on a team can be the difference. We saw it with the Angels. I mean, you have Trout and Ohtani, and you don't make to the postseason once. You know, the Dodgers in the postseason. You have all that talent, and you get swept by the D-backs. Because not everything clicks. You know, you need things clicking. We know how important a quarterback is in football, right? Now, he needs weapons as well, but, like, we know how important that is. In baseball, sure. What's the equivalent of the quarterback? I mean, the pitcher is super important, obviously, the starting pitcher, but there's other pitchers that come in after. It's not like there's the second string and third string quarterback comes in every game after the starter plays the first three quarters or whatever. You know, it is a full team effort. So that's what's so great about it, but what also is such a pain in the butt sometimes, like today when we have Michael King dominate and then the offense acts like it's 2023 again. So it's a disappointing series win, I would say, because like you'll take the series win, but you really wanted the sweep considering what happened today with Michael King and how you had the opportunity to go win this game and you didn't take it. And then on top of it, Crony gets hurt. Darvish gets placed on the IL. So it was a successful road trip, but it was disappointing at the same time, obviously, right? Now, let's get to the first two games of this series that were better. Padres win 6-3 in game two. Dylan Cease, the other Padres starter that's pitching consistent, 1.99 ERA. Yeah, he had five walks, reminding us of Blake Snell, right? But six innings, one earned run, seven punch-outs, just two hits allowed. And then Matsui, I mean, how well is he pitching today, or this year, excuse me, huh? 0.90 ERA. Peralta comes in to close it there at the end. Yeah. Just, again, like Dylan Cease, Michael King giving you the opportunity, saying, hey, go win this game, offense. And the Padres were able to do that in game two of this series. Now, no, that was not the second game. That was the first game where it was kind of handed to the Padres there offensively. Where yesterday, Manny, I mean, was smoking balls right at the pitcher's shins. Hits Wade Miley in the first. They attacked early. I loved how they attacked early in this second game. Manny makes it 1-0. Kim with the home run on that inside pitch makes it 4-0. And then you give a 4-0 lead to Dylan Cease. That's like a dream scenario before he's even taken the mound in the first inning. Sure, gave up a run on the Bauer's double in the first inning, makes it 4-1. But then they added on in the seventh, and Cease, even without those runs, like Cease was really good, and he gave it off to the bullpen with a lead there. But like doing the little things, as I said in my post-game reaction yesterday, Merrill with the ground ball would have been an inning-ending double play if he wouldn't have hustled. And he ends up hustling all the way down the line, beats it out. Profar scores, gives you another insurance run. And it wasn't everything, but hey, the Brewers, they scored, they tacked on two more runs. So without that run, it would have been a 5-3 game there with two outs in the bottom of the ninth after Contreras' ground out scored a run instead of 6-3. So like little things like that, it may not seem like, oh, it's not a big deal. Why are you bringing it up? But it could end up being a big deal at some point this year where the Padres end up winning by one run. And it's because Merrill hustled down the line or someone hustled down the line, beat out a double play so a run could score. And there's two outs in the inning before whatever happens there. And that ends up, you know, being the difference. And so like little things like that, like, oh man, okay, Jackson and Schiltz obviously noticing, the Padres staff and players notice. This guy's hustling down the line. I don't have an excuse to not hustle down the line in those situations. I'm not saying a ground ball to second base when it's 7-0 in the eighth inning. I'm not saying you have to bust it there, but when you need to, little situational things, doing things that maybe not every team in baseball might do, that could add up. We've seen it add up with teams in the past, obviously. So I just can't speak enough. I could speak about Jackson Merrill and what he's done for this Padres team all day long. By the way, I don't know if I said this before when I opened the show, but if you want to join the show, click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. I apologize. I kind of just went right into it. I do that because I know that fans, you probably get frustrated with, hey, subscribe, follow, you know, like if you like it, you will do that. So I try to just get right into it as fast as I can. And hopefully everyone appreciates me getting right to it. But yeah, like Merrill, he's doing, and I've said this, he's not trying to do too much. He's not afraid to take it the other way. He's not afraid to just make contact and hustle down the line to keep the line moving. He's playing well defensively. And I don't think he's too big for the moment. I could be wrong if they put him at leadoff consistently and then he struggles. But this guy has confidence. He works hard. All he cares about is winning, even if he goes 4-for-4 in a loss. Did we win the game? That's what it is. And I absolutely love that about Jackson Merrill. Could have used more of that last year, right? That's what it feels like. But yeah, Padres, they win game two of this series. Despite being 4-for-15 with runners in scoring position. But hey, they didn't go over. They went 4-for, and that helped get a win last night. Game one of this series, Joe Musgrove was on the mound. I'll get to him here in a little bit. Padres win 7-3. And they were kind of gifted this, a lot of chances. Contreras boxing that ball was that was thrown like right at him. Wade scored, that made it 3-3. Manny single, made it 4-3. Merrill single, made it 6-3. Campy single, made it 7-3. Kim's also been hitting better as well in like the last week. But yeah, just a lot of wacky stuff that happened with Milwaukee. I mean, ground ball to shortstop on like maybe a force out at second. Adames tries to be cool with the backhand, or excuse me, not backhand, behind the back pass, and can't get it to Bryce Turang at second base. Just taking advantage of the little things. Joe Ross, was it a balk or no? I think it was the pitch clock stuff, right? Or not pitch clock, but the new rule where the batter has to be engaged and the pitcher has to realize that, and then he can't start his windup until the batter is engaged with him. And Joe Ross did that a couple times. He got a warning, did it again, and that helped the Padres. So just taking advantage of the mistakes, a lot of mistakes. I mean, there were some terrible throws by Brewers infield this series. I mean, just, again, capitalizing on that, right? If the Padres can be sound defensively, capitalize on the other team mistakes, and get some good starting pitching performances like this, they're going to be in a good spot. Definitely going to be in a good spot. Now, with Joe Musgrove, and I'll get to the Darvish IL thing after Musgrove, Musgrove continues to struggle here, not perform up to expectations in 2024. 6 innings. It was a quality start, but it was like the weakest quality start ever. I think he said something to the effect of like he was proud of how he got through 6. And yeah, I would be proud as well. Like, I'm not trying to diss Musgrove there. But when you walk 4, you give up a home run, you go 6 innings, but you give up 3 earned runs, given a lot of base runners, a lot of hits early in that game. And that's where I was like, oh boy, this isn't going to be good. Now, he still got through 6, so I do applaud him for that. But it still was like the weakest quality start out there. I mean, that literally is. 6 innings, 3 or less runs. He went 6 innings, didn't go more than that, and he allowed 3 earned runs, the max. Am I worried about Joe? A little bit, yeah. And I think it is totally fair to be a little bit worried about Joe Musgrove. Let's look at the, like, under-the-hood numbers, because it's one thing to look at ERA 6.29 and be like, oh, not great. But then there could be some things where he's getting unlucky. Maybe he has a runner on base and the reliever sucks that day and he gets charged with the earned run. So ERA is not the biggest thing to look at sometimes. What I think we should look at is Baseball Savant 2023 compared to 2024. And I get it, 2024, it's a small sample size, but what is the hard hit percentage? What is the whiff rate? What is the chase rate? What is the average exit velocity? What is the fastball velocity? Little things like that. So 2023, I'm looking at his Baseball Savant, 32nd percentile in fastball velo. 2024, it's at 22nd percentile. So that isn't great. Average exit velocity, 80th percentile in 2023. In 2024, 36th percentile, which is not great. The blue, you want it to be in the red. You don't want it to be in the blue. And if you go look at the 2024 Savant page of Joe Musgrove, there's a lot of blue there. So that's where I'm like, okay, yeah, a little bit concerned. And remember, 2023, Musgrove was dealing with some injuries and having to battle back from that. He is coming off the surgery, but I thought he was healthy. He may be healthy and just struggling with mechanics. But yeah, walk rate, 2023, 90th percentile. So he wasn't walking many guys. 2024, 39th percentile. So more walks, more barrels, 52nd percentile in 2024. And in 2023, 87th percentile barrel percentage. So it was better. Not as many barrels last year compared to this year. So he's getting hit. He's walking more guys. Let's look at whiff rate, not just strikeout rate, but whiff rate. 2023, it was 48th percentile. 2024, oh, it's actually a little bit better, 64th percentile. It did go down, though, 2024. K rate so far, 27th percentile, and 2023, it's actually the same, sorry, 27th percentile. Chase rate, 40th percentile this year, 99th percentile last year. So he was really getting guys to chase last year. That's not the case this year. So there are some underlying things there where it's not as good. I'm not just talking about ERA, but some other things where there is a little bit cause of concern. And then just results-wise, right? It's a results-based business. You could get lucky, but you're getting good results, so maybe we don't talk about it as much. Bottom line, results, it's not good enough for the standards that we have for Joe Musgrove. I believe in the talent. He cares. Don't have to question him with that. So the ability is there to bounce back. I just wonder how long will it take to bounce back, because is he dealing with something that we don't know about?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Or is it just mechanics that he can fix? Is it something that he's trying to battle through right now? Health-wise, shoulder-wise, elbow, where we're obviously seeing a bunch about these injuries with Spencer Strider and a lot of guys. Gerrit Cole, obviously, on the shelf. There's a lot of guys. Those were just two that I named. Shane Bieber, after the great start. He was having a great start, and he ends up on the shelf, you know? A lot of guys. One of the Mariners' top pitching prospects, that happened, you know? It sucks what's happening with the injuries, and you just don't hope that something is happening with Joe. I'm not saying that it is. I hope that he's just, you know, frustrated with mechanics, and it's nothing injury-wise, but it is something to keep an eye on here when the velocity, at least fastball velo, in terms of percentile rankings on Baseball Savant, has gotten worse compared to last year. And it's not like his velo was Spencer Strider last year either, if that makes sense, right? And by the way, xERA, so ballpark adjusted, I believe, is what that is, third percentile, and last year it was 90th percentile. So there's that. So yeah, a little bit worried about Joe. With Darvish, I'm not actually that worried. I mean, sure, you don't want him to go on the IL, and you'd like to have Darvish starting games for you. We'll see who's going to start. I believe on Saturday was his next scheduled outing. But it doesn't seem like that's like a long-term thing. It's just neck injury. Upper neck, I think, is what Schiltz said in the post-game presser today, speaking with the media there after the loss today in Milwaukee. So he'll miss one start. If it's like the minimum 10 days, they can have him start on the 11th day, because it was retroactive to the 15th, the day after the Sunday night baseball. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Last day would be the 24th, I believe, on the 10-day IL. He could pitch the 25th. I believe the Padres have a day off in between those, so it would be okay for him to start that next day that he's available, coming off the IL. Now, who would start on Saturday? I don't know. I mean, Waldron's not an option because he's in the rotation. Is it Johnny Brito? Is it a bullpen game with him and Morejon? They did call up Gillespie. Is that how you say his name? Is it Tom Gillespie? They made this move after I did pregame thoughts today. So that's why I did not discuss it there. Not Tom, sorry. I'm combining Tom Cosgrove and Logan Gillespie. Logan Gillespie, recalled from AAA El Paso. I looked at his outings, not starting pitching outings. Those are, he's pitching, I think he had five appearances, like five innings of work. Reliever in a game that is probably a blowout is why I think they would call him up now, and you don't call up a starter when you're not going to use him. So they could call up Randy Vasquez to start. They could call up, who else is out there? Jackson Wolf, I think, is in there in AAA. Could call someone like that up. I don't think that they would go straight to Adam Mazur. Maybe they would want to wait there a little bit with him. But those are just some names that I'm thinking about. They could. I mean, Pedro, wouldn't you like to have Pedro Avila? He ends up getting traded to the Guardians earlier this week before Darvish ends up going on the IL. He goes to the Guardians for cash considerations. So I wonder what the Padres' plan is going to be there for that. But with Darvish, I didn't notice like neck tightness during the Dodger outing. So maybe he slept wrong and he woke up and it was just stiff and he knew, man. Remember Max Scherzer in the World Series in 19? He just like couldn't dress himself almost. That's how bad it was. And sometimes it's just a bad timing thing. Now Nats won the World Series there, so it ended up being all fine and dandy. But with Darvish, I'd rather have it now than, you know, October, the day before wild card game one, when Darvish is supposed to be on the mound or something. Now, Darvish and Musgrove, as of now, they're not the Padres' aces. It's Cease and King, at least in terms of consistency. So at least it's not Cease on the IL. It's not King on the IL. But it's still like Darvish is the top. He's the opening day starter, the home opener. You don't want Darvish on the IL. And who knows where this Padres team is going to end up come end of September. They could miss the postseason by a game, and maybe that's the Darvish start, that whoever starts this game coming up ends up crap in the bed. And I don't think that would be really fair for us to point to that game. If any game we're going to point to, it should be like today's game when King pitches his butt off and the offense doesn't do anything. Something like that, not a spot start game, because injuries just happen. So wishing all the best to Darvish. So far this season, Darvish, he's had, I think, more good starts than not. ERA is 4.18. Five starts, 23 and two-thirds innings for him. And last outing against the Dodgers, five innings, three earned runs. Only struck out two. He's not striking out very many guys this year. Most strikeouts in a game so far is seven. That was when he pitched five innings against the Giants on the 28th. Longest he's gone in an outing is seven. That was against the Cardinals in that next outing on the 2nd. So three and two-thirds innings, five innings, seven innings, three innings, five innings. So he hasn't gotten like that consistency of six innings, six innings, six innings. But hopefully that can happen maybe a few starts after he comes back off of the IL. You just don't want this to happen when you're trying to get in a flow like these starting pitchers are, right? You're not in the spring training thing. You're not in Korea, and then you're not coming back like they've been back for a little bit here. So you're trying to get into that groove, and then this pops up. So it's not ideal. I wonder who's going to be starting that game. I think Saturday is when that next outing is supposed to happen. The Jake Cronenworth thing. I did want to hit on that here. So he left. Was that the first game of the series? Yeah, first game. Brett Sullivan was at first base, and I was like, oh, interesting. Why is Sully there? Well, Cronenworth exited with some, they called it calf tightness, but then Schilt said that it was also hamstring a little bit, running up into the hamstring. So I don't know what leg it's on, but yeah, that's really a situation. It's wait and see. I like that Cronenworth didn't play today. If he would have played today, I think that would have been pushing it. He could have come up with a big-time hit or something. He's one of the Padres' best players this season so far. But when it's April 17th and you have an off day tomorrow and he didn't play yesterday, having 3 days off, that's a good determining factor there. Like, hey, you got 3 days off. You're getting treatment. If you can't play Friday, we're putting you on the IL retroactive to, what would that be, the 16th? Yeah. And we'll just do that. We'll bring up Grant Pauly or whoever. We need Jake to be here the entire year because this isn't Jake Cronenworth of 2023. It seems like it's a new Jake Cronenworth or old Jake Cronenworth back to like when he first was with the Padres where he wasn't trying to do too much. He was staying within himself, going oppo, line drives. He's playing great defensively at first base. You don't want to lose that. So, yeah, it would be a significant loss if Jake Cronenworth ended up missing substantial, significant time for this Padres team. He's been the three-hitter. And Profar hitting third, I don't know how sustainable that is. Profar, I believe in him. I mean, based on what I've seen this season, and that's what I'm going to go by, I still question, like, can he do it the whole year? You know, he's not Juan Soto. But I guess you ride Profar in the three spot as much as you can. But can you do that for like a month? It doesn't seem like Cronenworth would be out for a month. But I don't think you get my point. I don't think Schilt wants to be riding Profar in the three spot for any like significant period of time. I don't even know if Profar would be like, yeah, I'm a three hitter. I think he knows where he should be in the order as well. So wishing the best for Crony, obviously. Man, he has been so good. 798 OPS. That's because like he's not hitting for a bunch of power. You know, Profar's had a grand slam. He's had some extra base hits, right? Some big extra base hits, a relevant one last Sunday. Cronenworth, it hasn't been as much of that. I'm not looking at the stats right now, but just the eye test. All I'm looking at is the OPS of Crony at 798, where with Merrill, for example, it's at 874. He hasn't had very much either, but he has a higher average than he's getting more hits more often than Cronenworth is. So that's why you see that there. Now, that was Merrill's OPS on Monday. His OPS now is 844. So it's dropped 30 points since Monday. So That's also another thing. Like it's early because, you know, three games can raise or drop your average. I mean, Kim, he's up to a 777 OPS after this series. Manny's up to 773. Profar was at, I think, over 1,000, right? And he's down to 883. And yeah, Bogart's at 536. All right, quick break and then get to the chat. Check out Gaglione Bros' famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. All right, a reminder about some of the other great partners of the show as well. In addition to Gaglione Bros, obviously Friars Road, Snapdragon Stadium, Petco Park. Breaking Tea. I don't know if you guys have seen, but they have got a sick, relevant, Mr. Relevant Jerks and Profar shirt out. I posted that on social media a couple days ago, so you can go get that. Click the link in the description. Click Slam Diego, that category, that's the Padres page. There's Aztecs, there's Wave stuff on there as well, but you can click Slam Diego and then go to the Jerks and Profar Mr. Relevant shirt. I've already gotten notifications of a good amount of fans purchasing the shirt. So I love that. Thank you for supporting Breaking Tea and supporting the Padres and Jerks and Profar there. But yeah, it's a cool shirt that I think a lot of fans really wanted to go get immediately because it was against the Dodgers and it was a great like FU moment. And I think Padres fans we love Profar, you know? So we're backing our guy. We're getting our shirt. And so there's that Underdog Fantasy 100% deposit match up to $100. Click that link in the description. Use code TalkingFriars. For anyone that watches the pregame thoughts, they know that I do the underdog pick been a little cold, like this Milwaukee series, not that great, but still, I give my pregame pick, Padre related, before every game, every pregame thought that I do. And you can go with it. You can laugh in my face and be like, Ben, you're an idiot, whatever. But I like giving that recommendation there. SeatGeek code, Talking Friars, $20 off your first order there. All right, let's get to the chat. If I have missed anything, if there's any topics you want me to touch on, feel free to put it in the chat. I appreciate everyone for being here live. If you're watching on replay as well, or you're listening on the podcast platforms, thank you as well. Devin says, well, that was something. Xander is pissing me off so much right now. It's frustrating because it feels like the Padres, and we knew it sort of at the time, but you did look at, oh, he hit over 300 with Boston. There was like 15 home runs. But the Padres, they paid $280 million to a guy that is not a power hitter. You know, Manny, he'll probably give you 30 homers a year, 25 plus. That's not really who Xander is. And then you're moving Xander off of shortstop the second year of the contract. And at some point, you probably want to have him go play first base or be the DH at some point. I've liked them at second base, so it's not like I'm trying to move them off the infield, you know, totally. But yeah, we knew at the time they overpaid Xander, and maybe that was a Peter Seidler saying, you know what, I'm paying Xander. I don't care. I'm trying to go win all out 2023. Let's go do it. We can't get Judge. We can't get Trey Turner. Well, we're getting someone. We have Soto here. Don't know how much longer. We have Tatis coming back. We got Manny. We're going for this, you know? And that was after Crony coming off the 2022 postseason. We're going for it. And in order to get Xander, you needed to probably give him that long-term contract, a contract that he couldn't refuse, and he obviously could not refuse this contract. So there you go. But yeah, it feels like they paid a guy that his best, like most productive offensive power seasons are behind him, or he's only going to have like one or two with the Padres. And yeah, but he's here for the rest of his career. So got to deal with it. I don't hate Xander Bogaerts, you know, with Hosmer, man, I know hate's a strong word, but okay. Strongly disliked Derek Hosmer. It didn't seem like he was trying and cared about San Diego. Maybe he was trying, but I think he could have tried harder to be better. And I just didn't sense that with him. And Bogaerts, yes, it's a much bigger contract, but it feels like Xander cares. And he's straight up with the media. I was listening to the Darren Smith show, and Marty, who's in the clubhouse all the time, was saying the other day that Xander was telling her in the media, I suck right now. And yeah, he's blunt. He's honest. He cares. So I do appreciate that. I don't want to be on a full bash Xander Bogaerts thing here, but he needs to be better, and he knows that. Devin says, I want to feel satisfied and happy, but instead I feel cheated and empty because the offense went to sleep today. And what a waste of fantastic outing from King. Yeah, what a waste it was, right? I mean, why couldn't we have that for the first game against Toronto? That type of outing, you know? Save that for then. By the way, I was watching the Padres TV postgame broadcast, and some of the numbers that they showed for Vlad Jr. and George Springer and Bo Bichette, the OPSs are not that great. So hopefully the Padres pitching can capitalize against this Blue Jays team this coming weekend. I'm going to be disappointed if they can't win this series. They have not won four games in a row. I was hoping today was going to be that fourth win in a row that we could say, hey, this is definitely a different year, because it took till September to win four games last year in a row. And this year it took till mid-April to win four games in a row, but not the case. Hopefully they can start a winning streak coming up on Friday and Saturday in San Diego here back at Petco Park. JD, yep, I agree. Bogaerts very disappointing at this point, along with Kim. Kim is doing better though this last week. I think he's doing a little bit better, but overall, yeah, they've been disappointing. JD says, thank you, King, not your loss. Manager made some bad decisions, play small ball so King can have an incentive. I mean, if you think about it, I know he wasn't trying to, but Tatis did kind of play small ball there with two outs with the dribbler. And the Milwaukee pitcher just made a good play. You know, that one, I'm just tipping my cap there. Sure, I wanted Nando to square that one in a gap or hit it over the fence, but that was a good play by the pitcher. Now, the Xander 2-0 pitch that he just took down the middle, I have a problem with that. Striking out there, I have a problem with that. The Higgy pop out to second, yeah, that sucks. The grounding into double plays, it's going to happen, but yeah, it's irritating. You know, bottom line, Michael King did his job and more. He should not have had to suffer the loss in this game. No doubt about that. Continuing with the chat here, John asked, why can't they hit a sac fly ever? That is a good point. Is there a stat out there that you can look up how many sac flies a team has hit in a year? It feels like they've had plenty of sac groundouts, but I think you're right. I don't remember a ton of sac flies so far this year, like getting the ball in the air. Now, as long as it's a sac, whatever, I don't care. You score a run, that's great. But yeah, lifting the ball. I think that a big thing with Vic Rodriguez, the hitting coach, like an actual hitting coach instead of last year, someone like that and what they're, you know, the line drive swings, being aggressive, I think maybe that's why you're seeing less fly balls and maybe some more grounders. But maybe they're just focused on, hey, put the ball in play. But yeah, you like some more sac flies. Usually sac flies, it's easier to score at home than if there's a runner on third and a ground ball happens, because you could hit a ground ball sharp and get that runner thrown out at home, or the runner on third doesn't go with less than two outs and tries to live another day there, you know? Yeah, it hurts. We had the sweep, JD. Yep, I agree. Had the sweep with the pitching performance that we got, and the offense just didn't do it. I definitely feel bad for Michael King. He didn't deserve to lose this game. What a terrible L to take. It's like, it reminds me like in the NBA or college basketball, you know, when San Diego State, like Jaden Ledee drops a huge game, right? Gets a bunch of rebounds, and then the Aztecs lose. And it's like, Jaden Ledee didn't deserve that, you know? Some of these games where Caitlin Clark drops 40. I think there was a game on the road this year. Maybe it was the Ohio State game where she dropped like 40 points and then Iowa barely lost. And it's like, yeah, Caitlin definitely didn't deserve to get that loss. But yeah, I mean, we're here. Michael King, 7 2/3 innings and didn't deserve that loss. But sometimes it's an unfair game. Oh, I see what you did there. Wifty Cent says, thank you for the super chat, by the way. Says, are we going to have a bullpen day on Saturday with Darvish on the IL? Cheers, just showing support. No, thank you. Thank you to you. We don't know the plan to that yet. At least I have not seen anything on that yet. On if Darvish, well, obviously Darvish isn't starting, but is it going to be an actual starter? Are they going to allow Johnny Brito to go like three innings in this game and then Morejone come in and pitch a couple? So that covers five, and then you go to the bullpen. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if you were here, SDSU Man 1, but latest is, I mean, they're just waiting. Cronenworth's going to get 3 days off, and hopefully he can play, be in the lineup on Friday. But, I mean, they're waiting. It's kind of like a day-to-day thing is what it seems like. He hasn't been put on the IL yet, so maybe that's encouraging. Yeah, I agree, Rocky. Leadoff triple, can't score. Sorry, that's sad. Definitely sad. JD says, thanks, Ben. Awesome show. Update are awesome. No, thank you, guys. I disagree with this comment. Xander is not even embarrassed. I disagree. I think he's embarrassed. I mean, like I said earlier, moments ago, he has admitted to the media, I believe, like, I suck right now. I think he's embarrassed. The guy has pride. He wants to win. He doesn't come off as a guy to me that gets his money and then stops working. He is a baseball nut, baseball rat. I mean, the press conference that he had, baseball struck 24/7, always watching Sunday Night Baseball growing up. And even in the big leagues, watching baseball, like that's some guys, they're talented at baseball. And I feel like that's why they're in Major League Baseball. They get a lot of money from it. So that's great for them. But then there's some guys that are like, they were born to be in baseball their whole life. And I feel like Xander is one of those guys. So I disagree. I mean, Caesar, you'd like to sweep the Blue Jays to make up for this, but they don't have to. Keep winning series and I will be fine. Now, I might complain for the, you know, the third game if something like this happens. But let's say King would have went six innings, given up three runs, and they lose this game. I would have been not as irritated because Michael King would have given up three runs. But when he pitches that well and the offense does nothing, that's where it irritates me a little bit. Which contract is worse, Bogarts or Darvish? I mean, probably Bogarts because of how long it is. I know Darvish is till he's like 42, right? Six-year contract. But Darvish, you could make the argument that like he's going to adapt with how many pitches he has, good influence in the clubhouse with other pitchers. It's a good guy to have. I'm not saying Bogarts is not a good guy to have in your clubhouse. I think he is. But to give 11 years to Xander Bogarts and just the amount of money. I mean, it's more than double the amount of money that Bogarts got compared to Darvish. Darvish got, what, 102? It was over 100 that he got. I mean, that's more doable for the Padres, that you can swallow that more than, I mean, maybe having to pay the last 4 years of a Xander contract when he's 36, 37, and you don't want to have him on the roster anymore. They're going to be paying him till he's 40, right? Or through age 40 season. Let's see. Xander Bogart's contract. He'll be an unrestricted free agent when he's 41. They're going to be paying him $25 million when he's 40 years old in 2033. I mean, holy cow. And then Darvish. The Darvish contract was 6 years, 108, not 102, sorry, 108. 6 years, 108. And they're going to be paying Darvish 14 mil base salary when he is 41. Unrestricted free agent when he's 42. Full no trade clause, but it's 6 years, not 11. So I would go with Bogarts on that one. Yeah, I saw some people, I see this comment by Rocky about live baseball, joking, obviously. Some are like, trade Bogarts. And I'm like, where are you going to trade him? To live baseball? That's not a thing. And I hope it's not going to be a thing because I don't need some of the stars in baseball to be going over to live, like what's happening with the PGA Tour. I hate what's happening there. But yeah, what team is taking on that contract is my point. I don't see a team that's like, yeah, give me Xander Bogart this contract. All right. That's going to do it. Talking Friars episode 587. San Diego Wave, by the way, just touching on some other San Diego sports. San Diego Wave, they are back home on the 27th. You can get your tickets on the Wave website. They play on the 19th on Friday against Orlando. So you can watch that right before the Padres game. Perfect timing there. And then San Diego State, men's basketball, obviously, in their offseason, dealing with the whole transfer portal and all that. Assistant coach still needs to be hired. San Diego State football, they're, I think, in the middle or maybe at the end of their spring practices. I know Sean Lewis just spoke recently. So we got something there. And then San Diego FC, I did want to hit on that real quick, actually. San Diego FC is hiring, or they have hired, excuse me, someone to oversee their academy. Joaquin, I think is how you pronounce it. Joaquin Escoto from IMG to oversee the youth academy that is being built in East County. The men's academy is going to start in 2025. I think the girls academy, which I think is great having both, that's going to start in 2026, I believe. And Escoto, he has been hired as the executive vice president for SDFC, as well as the Right to Dream Academy. So it seems like all like the decisions are going to be running through him, and he'll report to CEO Tom Penn. So there's some news there. But yeah, that's it. Thank you, everyone, for the time. Have a great rest of your day, and expect an interview coming out tomorrow night, probably.